You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
We're going to continue with our identity statement this morning, a reminder of who we are in Christ, Christ's work in our hearts and our lives. Would you all join me here this morning? I am not what's been done to me, but what Christ has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Christ has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Christ, and Christ determines what I do. Thank you. And this morning, we're going to just talk a little bit about some of Jesus' heart and passion for us as found in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. We're in the last couple verses of Matthew chapter 5. But before we get there, I want to share a picture with you because we did a little bit of outdoor activities this week. We had planned on doing some tent camping, but at the last minute, because of the thunderstorms that were scheduled to come through late this week, we decided that we were going to shift, and we ended up staying in a cabin instead of roughing it on the ground in a tent. We still had a great time, even with the thunderstorms that we had. But one of the things that we did was we went on a little hike yesterday, and it was just us boys. And as we're on this hike, as you know, little legs wear out pretty fast. Sometimes your parents' legs are a little bit stronger and last a little bit longer, and your legs get a little bit tired. So I employed one of my old Boy Scout tricks, and that was, hey, let's make up a story. You all know this game. What you do is each person takes a few words or maybe a sentence and builds on to the story. And so this story just kind of evolves. It gets bigger and bigger and goes in different directions. And we went through maybe three different stories, two and a half different stories. And our stories went way over here, and then they came way over here. They had dragons, and they had dwarfs, and they had magic, and they had spaceships, and there were aliens, and there were all different kinds of things that came up as we went on this very short 3-mile hike. But what was fascinating was the kids were engrossed, and they forgot about their legs being tired or their feet hurting. I noticed that each of our stories, though, some of them had multiple villains. Multiple villains. Have you ever noticed that when you tell a story, or maybe when you've read a story, or maybe watching a movie or a show, that there is a villain? There's a bad guy. Every good story has an antagonist, the person who is kind of causing the plot to unfold. It's the bad guy, the antagonist, the one who is the provocateur, the one who is the mean guy, the bad guy. Every story has one of these bad guys. Can you all think of a story? Most stories have the bad guy. Yep. But also, each story has a good guy, if it's really a good story, and that's the protagonist. That's the leading character, the one who is kind of helping the arc of the story move forward. So you have an antagonist and a protagonist. Which one are you this morning? Are you the antagonist or the protagonist today? There's those moments when sometimes I switch into my shadow self and I find myself being not so much the protagonist, helping the story move along in a positive, healthy, restorative, all things working together for good kind of a outcome for my story. Sometimes I shift into the antagonist. You know any of these bad guys here with us? Disney tapped into the art of storytelling in a masterful way. Every Disney character has a rival, and here are the rivals. Do you have a favorite Disney story that you grew up listening to, having read to you, being told? In that story, there was a bad guy or a bad gal, and in that story, there was this confrontation of good versus evil. There was someone who stood up to the injustice in the story and said, no, this is wrong. What's hard about this idea of the antagonist, the bad guy, is we're reminded when we see a story in our heart of hearts that there are things, there are situations, and there are people that put us in a place of powerlessness. We find ourselves without the ability to influence, or we don't have power. Have you ever found yourself in a position where you felt powerless? It's scary to be in that situation. Before I was 10 years old, my mom took my brothers and I to a children's museum downtown Columbus, Ohio. And we had to park several blocks away because the parking lot for the children's museum was full. And I remember my mom pushing the stroller and someone in jogging shorts and a hoodie comes running up behind her, grabs her purse on the side of the road and takes off running. He just snatched my mom's purse. My mom looks at me and says, stay here with the kids, and takes off after him. She was a runner and a swimmer and was very fit. And so she literally chased him to a 12-foot high security fence, and he went over the top of that fence. She decided not to go over the fence. It was probably good, being a wife and a mama. She turns around and she finds me there coming into the alley, and she's like, where are the kids? And I said, well, the kids are fine. They're on the corner of the street, but I was worried about you. She said, you're supposed to be back there with the kids. So we went back. That moment, I felt powerlessness in a way that I had never experienced powerlessness as a child. And I watched that look on my mom's face of shock and fear. It was not a fun situation. My mom responded in that moment, not with fear. I was terrified. I was petrified. What did she do? She responded with courage, and she chased after him. About 2 days later, we got a phone call from the police department. They said, we found your purse. There was no money. Your camera's gone, and your ID is still here, but the credit cards were taken. That moment of powerlessness, it's not a fun situation. Sometimes we find ourselves powerless in school when someone has accused us of something. Sometimes we find ourselves powerless at work when our boss is not listening to our perspective on a particular project or situation, something we believe in or excited about or invested a lot of time into. We find ourselves powerless in those moments in our lives when we're trying to communicate our heart to the people closest to us and they can't listen, they can't hear. We find ourselves powerless sometimes, and it's not a good feeling. Each of those characters throughout the Disney stories find themselves powerless, and they have a choice. How are we going to respond in this moment? What is our approach to this situation? How are we going to live our lives from here? Throughout the Bible, we see example after example of individuals who were powerless and how they in turn responded. And I want to share just a really quick story, a snippet from a passage of scripture in 2 Kings chapter 5 with us this morning. I want you to listen for the character who is powerless in this situation. It's a story of a small girl who was taken from her home. She was stolen from her family, and yet she responded in those moments and those situations that she was powerless with a courage that came from deep down inside.
My time is short.
Do not speak of such things.
I have led tens of thousands of men to victory in countless battles for Syria. Yet with all my wealth and power, I can do nothing against an unseen enemy that does this. So that I cannot even touch the ones I love.
I wish there was something we could do.
Maybe there is.
Ah!
only my master were with the prophet who lives in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.
What? Child.
What have you said to startle my wife?
She says there is a prophet among her people who can heal leprosy.
My soldiers raided your land and took you from your people. Yet when I watch you, I'm impressed at how you serve me in the face of all that has happened to you. But do not speak to me of prophets and cures in Samaria unless you know without a doubt these things are real.
My God is real.
Read with me 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, the story of Naaman and the little slave girl who believed that her God is real. Let's do this together. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, no one of their raids had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord. Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." A little girl who had been taken from her family. The Syrians, a little bit of backstory. The Syrians were the bullies in the world at that time. And they had taken everything from Israel. They would go and raid and pillage and steal, and Israel did not have the fortifications or the defenses to be able to stop this bully from coming and killing and stealing and taking whatever they wanted. They were really mean people to Israel. And on one of those raids, they stole this little girl and took her away. She finds herself in a place where she is all alone. She is powerless. Powerless. That's a horrible thought for someone to be taken away from that place of safety, home, place where they're loved and they're protected, place where they're nurtured. It's not a good thought. This afternoon, I want you all to, when you go home, talk to your mamas and daddies about what you do if there's a stranger danger moment. What does stranger danger mean? How do you respond in those situations if someone is unkind to you or does something that you're not supposed to do? It's important we have those talks, moms and dads and kiddos here this morning. For this little girl, she did not respond in this moment with anger. She didn't respond with fear. She didn't shrink back and hide. What did she do? She went to her mistress. She went to the wife of this soldier, who was a man to be feared and reckoned with. She went and said, "I believe that God is alive and that the prophet, the one who speaks and communicates God's hope, God's truth, God's word, will be able to bring a change in my master's life." Instead of responding with evil for evil, what did she respond with? She responded to evil with good. In that moment. And that's hard for us, especially when we feel powerless, to step up and say, "I am going to allow what God has planted deep inside my heart to come forth." Something that is hard for us sometimes to dig down and to see and to find, because when that fight or flight mode kicks into place, we don't necessarily think with our hearts. We think with our heads, and we respond out of fear, and we either run or we fight or we hide, we bunker down. But instead, this little one who knew that she could trust God, she voiced that trust and shared that hope. Powerlessness is transformed by love in the heart of a little girl and changes the life of a powerful, a mighty man who had done great damage and great harm. Let's continue this morning with Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount. Read this with me, Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Remember last week, we talked about those moments where Jesus said, this is the way you've heard it. This is the old way, but I'm giving you a new way to respond. Now, God never gives us instruction or direction or a command without first giving us the power and the ability to fulfill that. God would be like Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh? What did Pharaoh do to the children of Israel as they were in Egypt? He said, you have to make bricks, but we're not going to provide the straw anymore. You're going to have to go out and find the straw on your own, and you're going to have to make more bricks than you've ever made before. That's not God. God promises that he is going to fulfill in us those directions, those promises that he's given to us. He always gives us the life and the energy, the desire to respond in those moments when we're saying yes to the truth that he has placed in our hearts. So Jesus here in a moment says, you have heard that it was said, the oral tradition, the way that we have responded to one another, those who are the irritants in our life, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The question was asked, who's my neighbor? Well, it's the person who looks like you, talks like you, lives in the same neighborhood, maybe drives the same car, maybe goes to the same place of work. Those are your neighbors. It's the people who remind you that you are good and that you're wonderful, and that when you look in the mirror, you see yourself and you say, yeah, I've got it together. The neighbors. But in the past, it wasn't just love your neighbors, but it was you have permission to hate your enemy. And Jesus takes it to a different place. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, today in our world, I don't have to face that situation that this little Jewish girl experienced. I'm not her mom or her dad, where someone has taken my child and I have had to respond in a way that I don't know if I could do that. And I pray that none of us ever have to face a situation where someone has taken from us. And our response is to love unconditionally the way that God loves us. Jesus says, just as your Father in heaven makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust, so too we show love and respond with kindness even in the face of a villain in our lives. Anybody facing a villain right now? Anyone ever faced a villain in your life? Yeah. Each of us have faced those people who have opposed us, those people who have rejected us, those people who have attacked us without mercy and regard for who we are. And Jesus says, there's something that I want you to do. I want you to respond with what I have placed inside of your heart, something that God has placed and something that no one can take away from you. Just as that little girl knew that nothing could take away her love for God and the knowing that God was real and alive in Israel. Jesus goes on, read this with me. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That word perfect is an important word for us to pause and to zero in on. Because the idea of perfect in my mind immediately goes to my performance. I have to make it happen just right. Otherwise, I'm going to beat myself up. I'm a perfectionist. And I will go days beating myself up because I didn't do something perfect. I struggle with forgiving myself. I also struggle with forgiving other people. What Jesus is talking about here is there is a wholeness to his love. There is a fullness to God's love in the way that God responds to all of his creation. God doesn't pick winners and losers in this moment, but his love is there for each of us. Y'all tracking with me? The sun comes up on the just. That's me, who's got it together. My shirt's pressed. Got a shower this morning. My hair's combed. I don't stink. Put on some deodorant this morning. But those who didn't, the other, the sun still came up on them just like it came up on me. Sometimes that's hard for us to get. As children, we grow up with us versus them. We have that very simple approach to this is good and this is evil, and there are those who fit into this category and there are those who fit into this category. And Jesus comes and in just a few short words says, your category of the just, those who are right with God and walking with God, and those who are oblivious or could care less about God's heart for them, doesn't matter, doesn't change one bit how God responds and is for them in their lives, just like God is for you in your life. I want to challenge you, Jesus is saying, I want to challenge you to respond the same way that your Father responds to the troublemakers, to those who irritate you, to those who cause pain and suffering in your life. To bless and not curse. To pray and not throw a rock. There are those moments when we're challenged. Israel experienced oppression, occupation. Everybody picked on the Israelites over and over again. And they found themselves being in a place of, how are we going to respond? Is God really changing us on the inside? And Jesus comes and says, I'm giving you my spirit. I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you the power within so that you can respond in those situations in a way that is utterly outside of just the good people who I show kindness to and the bad, the people who I hate and don't want anything to do with. There is this category of love that God has for each of us to walk in and to respond to those situations and those problem people in our lives. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming down to the Jordan River to be baptized, his statement was, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus has taken away the sin of the world. He's brought forgiveness into our lives and into our experience. And I believe that that's a once and for all. I have been forgiven. You have been forgiven, and nothing can take that forgiveness away. What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus? It looks like those moments when someone sins against me or is doing something that's hurting someone else, that we respond in such a way that it transforms that negative, evil, dark wickedness in a way that is removed so that God's light can come through and fill their hearts just like God's light has filled our hearts. Each of us, as little lambs of God's flock, when God looks in Bertram, in the hill country, does God look and see, there's one of my little lambs who are taking away the sin of the world, not escalating the sin, increasing the sin, causing violence to be in circulation, but are there those who are a part of my flock who are saying yes to the love and the self-sacrifice that my son gave? Are they walking in that way? Are they following in the footsteps of Jesus? Not in any might or power of their own, but living from that source within, God's love that he has placed within us through his Spirit in our hearts. I want to just take a few moments, and why don't we all close our eyes, bow our heads this morning. I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit today, where are the villains in my life? Holy Spirit, where are the villains in my life? Do you see a villain? Might even be yourself that you're looking at. This morning, can we dare to see God's love towards that villain in our life? Can we dare to say that God's love can change and transform to bring healing and restoration into that life? This is kind of a heavy moment, heavy idea. It's not a, oh, God loves us and everything's wonderful. It's God loves us and has changed our hearts and his love is present in my life and it gives me the power to respond in different ways than what I naturally would have responded. I'm able to live from my true self. That new man, that new woman, that regeneration that continues to blossom and grow. God, right now, the villains that we see in our minds, whether it's a person, a place, or a thing, we come to you and we ask that you would show us what it means that you rain on the just and on the unjust, that you send your son to rise, the physical, literal daybreak. Father, we welcome the spiritual daybreak as well. Your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to dawn in the hearts and in the lives of those who are the villains in our life. Show us what it means to not be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. We thank you for the deep power within each of us, God's love, agape love, hased, that unconditional love that never fails, never runs out, never runs dry. We thank you. We offer up our hearts to you. We ask you to continue to change us. We thank you that we are not stagnant, but we're continuing to evolve into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. May his kingdom come and his will be done in our hearts, through our words and our actions. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray all of this. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.